Ezekiel chapter 37. That's where we're going this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37. We came out of our series from, for a long time, and on the armor of God. And you'll see when we, those of you that are Wednesday nighters, we've been studying the great covenants of the Bible. And there are eight of those covenants that are given in Holy Writ. And we're just about to go into the eighth of those covenants on Wednesday night. And as a matter of studying that eighth covenant, we'll get to that here in just a little bit in our time this morning, this is where this came from. As a result of looking at that study, I felt like that this would be a great area to share with us here this morning. So let's read. I'm going to read a good piece of scripture here, and you just get comfortable and hang on right where you're at, and try to follow along with me if you can, and just get the gist of what we have. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 37 of Ezekiel, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse 6, And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I behold, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, hath spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have today to be in your word. And I pray, God, that you'd just simply open this up and give us a simple message this morning, Lord, that we can apply to our lives. Lord, that we might be helped, that we might be encouraged, that we might live this day. For we pray it in Jesus' name and amen. First thing I want to talk to you about is dryness. Dryness. Dryness of spirit is not a normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to be, number one, life. Life. That's number one. Normal Christian life is to be life, number one. And secondly, it's to be a life of victory. A life of victory, no matter what the circumstance is that you're living. No matter the circumstance of the day, no matter the circumstance of the time, you are to have, as a normal Christian, you are to have life and victory in that life, no matter what circumstance comes your way. If you are dry for days, if you are dry spiritually for weeks, if you are dry spiritually for years, something is wrong. Something is wrong. If there is a continual dryness in your spirit, then that ought to be something this morning that causes you to look up and say, whoa, something might be wrong here. Something might be wrong if I'm not having this normal Christianity. If you are waiting for something out here, look at me. If you're waiting for something out here to give you a reason to smile, if you're looking for something out here to give you a reason to laugh, if you're looking for something out here to give you a reason to rejoice, if you're looking for something around out here to give you a reason to dance today, if you're looking for that, then there is dryness in your spirit. If you're waiting for Toby Keith to show up at the rodeo down here before you can dance and cut a rug, friend, there's something wrong in your spirit. This is explained for us in the passage. It's explained for us in verses 2 and 11. It says, verse 2, "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley." Very many in an open valley. What's it talking about? Bones. "And lo, they were," look at the next word, "very dry." There was a bunch of bones in an open valley, and they were very dry, it says. Go down to verse 11. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, for we're cut off for our parts." Israel was in a state of dryness. That's the problem. Problem is that the people of God were in a state of spiritual dryness, a state of spiritual emptiness. Ezekiel was supernaturally transported to a boneyard in an open place. In this boneyard, there were bones that were gathered from what appeared to be an army of individuals. A boneyard and a collection of bones were brought to this open valley out there. They'd been left out there, and they had been baking for a long, long time. And this baking had caused these bones to become very, very dry. They were on public display, and yet they were very, very dry, the scripture tells us here. They'd been like this for a long time. It was their new normal, these bones. These bones were all jumbled up together in this open valley on public display. They were all jumbled up together. They were all mixed up like Legos disconnected and thrown into a box. Just all different kinds of sizes and shapes, and all thrown into the same box, all disconnected and unattached. It was such a bad scene. Such a bad scene that God asked Ezekiel a question there in verse 3. Look what he asked him. He said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I mean, it looked pretty bad, didn't it? All of these bones, unattached, disconnected, hanging out on public display down here in the valley that were very, very, very dry. And God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" Well, how bad it was is telling by Ezekiel's answer to God's question right there. God asks the questions if these bones can live, and then Ezekiel answers in the latter part. He says, "O Lord God, thou knowest." That's what we say when we don't know. That's where we got to come to when we don't have a clue what to do next. When we come to the place where we don't know how to fix this, we have to come to the place where we say, "I don't have a clue. You're the only one. God, you're the only one that can fix this. You're the only one that knows how this can be made right. Lord, if you're asking me how to bring life back into this mess, I don't know." Have you ever been there? In your life? in your valley of dry bones, have you ever been to the place where you didn't know how to fix this mess? Where the question came, but you're sitting there thinking, there's no way out of this. I've got no answer. I've got no way to fix this. How's life going to get back in this marriage? I don't know. I don't see a way. How is life going to get back into this relationship? It is beyond me. I can't see a place where we can have common ground, where this can ever come back to have life in it again. How is this ever going to come back here? How about this class? How about this church? Can this class live again? Can this church live again? Can this live again? And we come to the point of, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to do. Man, the Lord only knows. The Lord only knows. It looks pretty bleak to me, but oh Lord, you know. Everything always looks bleak from the spiritual boneyard. When you're looking out over the boneyard, things look pretty bleak. When our bones get dry, when our bones get very dry, and we just want to lay there, and we say, I can't. I just can't. I can't do no more. I can't do this. I can't figure it out. I can't. I just can't. Look what it says over here. It says, our hope is lost. That's what them bones cried out. See what they said? Our bones dried out, and they said, our hope is lost. We can't do it. We're unable to fix the problem that we have here. And that's the point that we need to get to sometimes. Figure out that we can't fix it, that we can't get to the place, that we can't do anything. We can't bring the life into this situation. But here's one thing we can do. We can figure out how we got here. We can figure out how we got to this problem. We can figure out how we got to the place where we were just a bunch of dry bones laying out there baking in the sun. And if we can figure out what caused this, figured out what caused us to be lumped together in the boneyard, baking in the sun and becoming very, very, very dry, if we can figure out what caused that, then we can probably, maybe, possibly find a cure for that. What do you think? Sometimes we get to working on symptoms rather than working on a cure for the ailment. Had a little leak in my office over here. Thought we had it cured. Had a little leak, water come down the wall behind a bookcase, and next thing I knew, out from behind that bookcase was peeking some black mold. I didn't even know it was there until it started peeking out from behind that bookcase. Boy, then it kicked everybody into high gear, huh? And we began to cut that piece out and look for all this, and we fixed the leak that was up in there and thought we had it all done until I went in my closet the day before yesterday. It's growing in my closet now. See, we might have got part of it, but we didn't get all of it. We might have got part of the cause, but we didn't get all the cause because there's still an issue back in there. There's a cause for things. And when you find out what causes it, then you can fix what causes it and not wind up being a dry bone. Huh? Not have all these things that come as a result of it. A cure comes when the cause is fixed. Listen to me. If you've been dry for a while and you tried a bunch of stuff to get out of the dryness, but you're still dry, you have been treating symptoms and you have not been treating the cause. Chapter 37 tells us the cause for the dryness in these bones. Chapter 37 states the cause, states where this is going for the dryness. If you go back to 36, it tells us where all that came from. Go back to 36 and look at verse 16. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. That's talking about a menstrual cycle. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. Why had God's people been brought to the bottom of the valley to bake? Why had these bones been brought to the bottom of the valley, openly, disgracefully open, and brought there to bake in this valley at this time? They had been brought there because of disobedience. Disobedience had brought them down to the place of being baked bones in an open valley there. You see, disobedience brings distance. Disobedience brings distance. It brings distance from God. And when you go through disobedience that gets distance from God, the next step is dryness. Because you have been moved in your proximity from closeness to God to a distance from God. Distance always brings dryness. Question. How can a man go to church 52 Sundays? 52 Sundays. How can a man go to church 52 Wednesdays? 52 Sundays, 52 Wednesdays. How can a man read his Bible verse every single day and still be dry? How can that happen? The answer is given here. There's an idol somewhere. There's an idol somewhere in that man's life. That's how dryness comes. When we get distance, disobedience brings distance. Distance brings dryness. And the dryness comes as a result of having an idol in our life. Somebody or something has been allowed to stay where it should not be. Anything you go to instead of God to meet your needs is an idol. Anything, anybody that you go to instead of God to meet the needs that you perceive that you have, that is an idol. There is not room at the top for two. Guess what God's direction says? He says, there is not room up here for two of us. There's not room for two masters in anybody's life. There's only room for one at the top. And when you have two masters in your life, your moisture evaporates. The moisture evaporates out of your life, and your joy dries up. And that twinkle in your eye that signifies life in your life evaporates. And your dancing dries up. Now I want you to notice a promise. Go to verse 12 of Ezekiel 37. It says, therefore prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. His people were dead spiritually. His people were dead spiritually. Let that sink in for just a moment. That's why he's talking about all of this. His people were dead spiritually. He's looking at a remedy for this spiritual deadness. God says, I'm going to make these dry bones live again. And when I do that, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. Nobody else is going to be able to do this. But when it gets done, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. When this turns around, there's not going to be any question in your mind about who God is. When your idol stands there unmoving, unspeaking, and can do nothing in this situation, and yet something gets done, you're going to know it wasn't the idol, it was me that got this done. When I turn this problem around, when I turn your frown upside down, you're going to know that it's me, the Lord says. You know, it's one thing to hear about a resurrection. Boy, it's another thing to live a resurrection. Huh? Noah, hearing about it's one thing, buddy, but living it is another thing entirely, wholly different from the other. So how do these dry bones get to live again? When we are down spiritually for an extended time, when disobedience creates distance and distance creates dryness, what's the remedy? What's the cure? What's the fix? This is where that previous study comes in. This is where that covenant that I was studying on comes in. This is where all this kind of flowed out of. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. What's the remedy? It's the new covenant. Ezekiel 36, looking at verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. What's the fix? How do these bones live again? Well, the fix is the new covenant. And there's two words that are important in that new covenant. One word is word. The Word. And the second word is Spirit. Both of these are vitally important in the new covenant, that you and I, many of us who have been born again, enjoy today of this new covenant. Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Go over there for just a moment. Again he said unto me, prophesy. What does the word prophesy mean? Preach it. Prophesy upon these bones. But when he's talking about prophesy, he's talking about prophesying his words. Prophesying the words of the Lord upon these bones. Preach my word over the bones, is what he says. Preach my word over these bones right here. Speak God's word over the bones. Too late for the doctor here. Now it's time for something else. Too late for the doctor. The bones are there. Now he says, preach my word over these bones. Declare my word over these bones. The word of the Lord over the bones. If it's spiritual dryness, folks, if what you're experiencing is spiritual dryness, only spiritual words can be the medicine. Only spiritual words can do the trick. If disobedience has created a distance and brought on dry mouth, then only divine words can make dry bones dance. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied. He preached over these bones the word of the Lord. I prophesied as I was commanded. He was preaching over these dry, dry bones in this open valley that were laying in public disgrace. He's preaching over these bones. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, as I preached, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. Ezekiel proclaimed the word, and movement started. Ezekiel declared the word of the Lord, and movement amongst the bones began to take place. He preached and he heard some amens.
He preached and he heard some chuckling, some laughter. There was some movement. There was some activity that took place. There was some rattling. There was some shaking. The word by itself, listen, the word that was proclaimed by itself began to connect unconnected things. The word alone, the word by itself began to put things, start to move things to right, started to move things in the right direction, started to connect what was disconnected, started to join up what was disjointed, started to pull together what had been separated all around. Just by bones, hearing the word, some rattling took place. There was a whole lot of moving going on. Just because those bones heard the word of God proclaimed. But the latter part of verse 8 tells something else. But there was no breath in them. There was no ruah in them. There was no spirit in them. Preaching caused the bones to move around, caused the bones to move to activity, but there was no breath, there was no life in them. There was no spirit in them. That's an important phrase. That's an important thing that is not there at this point. Preach the word, there's a whole lot of shaking going on, but there wasn't any life in the shaking. There wasn't any life in the rattling. There wasn't any life in the connecting. There wasn't any life in the jointing together, the covering, the wrapping of the skeleton. There wasn't any life in any of that. A lot of movement, a lot of shaking, a lot of activity, a lot of stuff going on, but there wasn't any life in any of the stuff. In addition to the prophesying of the word, there was to be a prophesying unto the wind. We read that. Did you see it? There was to be a prophesying to the wind. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Now, we're not going to have a service here, and y'all come up and let's see if I can drop you on the aisle. It's not what it's talking about out here. What it's talking about is it's talking about the breath of God breathing life into an individual. You remember back in the beginning of the book, and God got on a roll, and he said, let there be. His word went forward. Let there be. And man, there was stuff that beed. Okay? Let there be, and things came into being. The Bible also says back in those times, it says that the Spirit of God hovered upon the deep on the face of the earth. It hovered over that. The Spirit of God, it says. You remember when man came along, he says that God reached down and scooped up the dust of the ground. He scooped up the dust of the ground. And when he took that dust of the ground, it says that he breathed. He breathed into the dust of the ground. Ruah, spirit, life. And man became a living soul, it says. Let there be, and there was. And he breathed the breath of God into man, and man became that living, living soul. Verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. If you're dry, there's two reasons for it today. If you're dry in spirit here today, there's two reasons. Number one, the number one cause that you may be dry today is that you're not saved. You're not saved. You don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you. You are not saved, and you're living trying to manufacture what is impossible for you to manufacture today. You can't manufacture life. Can these bones live? That's the question. Can these bones live? Only thou knowest, O Lord. You can't manufacture the life that God puts in a person. You can rattle and shake and do all kinds of things, but friend, that's just rattling and shaking of dead, dry bones unless the Spirit of God is resident in there. So number one, if you're dry today, it could be because you don't have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you because you're not saved. Number two, the second reason, you may not be under the control of the Spirit. You may not be under the control of the Spirit. Now listen, we went through a series here over the last 2 or 3 months, and we talked about the armor of God and putting on the armor of God. And the whole entirety of that study was about being submitting to the Spirit of God in our life. That's what it's all about, submitting to the Spirit of God that was placed into our life at the moment of salvation. And when we submit to that truth, when we put up that shield of faith, when we put on those shoes of the gospel, when we put our feet solid in the way of saying yes to God's way and no to our way, believing Him and taking Him at His word, which is the first part of the new covenant, you got to have a truth. You got to have a word. You got to have something that is black and white. You got to have something that doesn't move, doesn't waver, doesn't wobble, that is solid and stays in place no matter what. And there's that first thing. So this whole entirety of this study of the Word of God was to submit to the Word. Submit to the Word, which is the basis for everything. Submit to the Spirit that God places in there, and understand that the truth of His Word is vital. No earthly teacher can give you life. I can't impart to you life. Can't give you life. There's only one that can bring you life. It's only one that can give you what you need. I can make you laugh. I can make you cry. I can motivate you. I can discourage you. I can do a lot of things, but I can't give you life. That's not mine to impart. That's not mine to give. I give out the general word. The general word of God. Dryness can come from not having the Spirit of God, or being disconnected from the life that God has placed in us. That's where it comes from. God's not interested in movement. Hear me? He's not interested in your movement. You're just moving around. He wants to live through you. He wants to live His life through you, not just to see you move as a bunch of bones coming together. He wants to say to you and me today, don't obey me because you have to. Obey me because you want to. If you're miserable when you obey, if you're miserable when you do the things of God, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect, and with that disconnect comes distance. Distance away from Almighty God. When His Spirit is active and working in you, you'll want to do things. You'll want to be engaged. You'll want to show the life that is in you. How many of you have a GPS in your car? Three. Some of y'all need to catch up. There's some real cool things out there that came about in the last 25 years. GPS. Wonderful little tool. Comes up with a screen. And on that screen gives a map. Shows you where you're at. You take it out far enough, it'll show you where you're going. It'll trace the map. It'll trace the path down through there to get from where you are to where you're going. Wonderful. Who would ever think of that thing? There's a second feature that goes along with it. It's a voice feature. Real pleasant voice that gives you step-by-step, play-by-play instructions along your path. In 500 feet, turn right on Vance Jackson. In 300 feet, turn left. It just guides you right down through a process with all of this. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, men don't have to be men anymore. Huh? And ask for directions from someone. We have this wonderful tool right here in the vehicle with us. Sight and voice. Have you ever used that thing improperly? Because I'm still a man. And I know better than she does at times. And when I'm going from here to there, and she wants me to go here to get there, and I want to go here to get there, I'm going here to get there. But the whole way on my going here to get there, I got to listen to her. As she tells me, in 300 feet, turn left. When I blow through that intersection, she goes. In 500 feet, turn left. When I blow through that one, she continues. 200 feet, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. She just keeps telling me. Turn left, turn left, make a U. Turn left, make a U. Turn left, make a U. And I just keep on going. Distance. Dryness. You see, that's what this new covenant's all about. God placing His Spirit in us. He puts that Spirit in us, and that's that voice. He gives us a map in his book. He gives us a map about where we are and where He wants us to go. Right? He gives us His Word about, you're here, I want you here. Here's the path you should take. 66 books of it. It's overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. What do I pick? What do I do? What do I? What are the? What? But to solve that, He puts His Spirit in us. To solve that problem of what do I do and what step and what's the next thing? What's the next turn? What do I do now? I'm here. Help! What do I do now? And it's His voice, Spirit, through prayer, that we get that next direction. Turn left 300 feet. And if we turn left 300 feet, we're back on the path. We're back on the path that God has outlined for us. And we're headed to the destination that is on the map that is out there. And if we'll keep turning left and turning right when the voice tells us to turn left and to turn right, we'll arrive at the destination that God has planned for us. This is the new covenant. Now we don't have 613 laws that says you can't walk more than this right here on the Sabbath day, or you're going to be in violation of the law. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. Do this. Do that. Do that. Do this over here. Do all. I don't know about you, but that would drive me crazy. Number one, I couldn't do it. But if you'll tell me to turn left up here in 300 feet, I think I might be able to handle that. Just turn left and look for the next thing. Do what's next. God set it up wonderfully for us to keep us out of dryness, to keep our distance with Him closed up so that we don't have to wonder about what He's doing. Listen to me. I preach general principles when I come in here. That's the word that I'm laying out for you. I'm preaching the word. I'm putting out the principles. I'm putting out the generalities of the word of God. The reason for that is I don't know what your idol is. I don't know what your disobedience is. Yeah, some I do. But I don't know what it is that is pulling you that has got first place in your life. I don't know what it is that you put up there next to God. I'm preaching general principles. I'm throwing the word out here, and I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is going to take that, and He's going to speak to you about that during this time. That He's going to ring your bell, that He's going to talk individually to every single one of you because you came willing to listen, willing to learn, willing to turn in 300 feet to get back on the path that God had outlined for you from point A to point B, that you've been that you're all way off out, completely opposed to what He's doing. And I'm preaching the general word. I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is getting you turned back onto the path that He has for you. To arise from deadness. To arise from deadness, you got to listen to the voice. I have been guilty of that little voice on the GPS, of after having doing it my way and gone so far down that path of muting it, so that I don't have to listen to her voice anymore. And the problem is that a lot of dry bones have muted the voice of God. Muted the voice of God. And said, I think I'll do it my way. I'm going to install at the top of my life my way. And do it my way. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants you to live. He wants you to really, really live. If you'll agree with God, if you will today drop your idols, if you will today drop your disobedience and get back on track with Him. If you'll listen to His leading, these old dry bones, oh, they can dance again. These bones can dance again today, rejoicing. You'll live again. Rejoice again. Because you won't be waiting for the party that's going on out here. The party will be in here. The joy of the Lord is my strength, David said. Where's your strength today? What's your encouragement? What's your hope? Where's your help? Is it out here looking for something to stimulate? Or is it here? 2,000 years ago, God sent His only Son from heaven to earth. And on Calvary's cross, a place called Golgotha, that Son of God laid down His life for the curse of sin upon humanity, that we might be redeemed back to Him, that He might place in each of us a piece of Himself that would lead, guide, and direct us throughout this minefield that we call life. And that that peace might become life. Life. And liberty. And hope. And health. And help to those who would believe. Are you dry today? Maybe you need to come to the cross. Come to the cross for salvation. You saved today, yet dry? Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Lay your burden down. Lay your idol down. Lay your disobedience down and turn left in 300 feet. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for that ruah, that breath, that life that You blow into every born-again one. Lord, we are not to marvel that we're to be born again. This is the way You designed it to be. Lord, we know that everything isn't always hunky-dory, even after salvation, but we do know this, that if we know You, You can make a way. You can make a way where there seems to be no way. Can these bones live again? Man, You know. Thou knowest, O Lord God, and You alone know. Lord, help us to take stock of where we are. You laid out a path in Your Word from here to where this life ends for us. You laid out the path. Where are we in relation to that path? Help us to be honest with ourselves. Lord, there's no cure. There's no cure without finding the cause. What's the thing that's got that has caused distance to come between us and You? Lord, help us to be bold enough to run to the foot of the cross and drop that burden there this day. Lord, that we might be able to get on path, turn at the proper place, and wind up at the proper location. Father, I just ask You, Lord, to help us to, Lord, apply what we've heard. Else, it's been another exercise in dead, dry bone therapy. God, help us not to be satisfied with movement. Lord, help us to see that it takes life to make a difference for You. Now, dear Heavenly Father, I just want to commit, put place each and every soul in this room in Your hand today. And ask You, Lord God, to have Your way with each one. For I earnestly pray that in Jesus' name. The only Savior there ever is, and amen.